Good Thursday night, everyone, and welcome in to the Bonesville pregame podcast. The Pirates set to host Temple American Athletic Conference contest. And this is Al Myatt, joined by Kevin Monroe. Kevin, of course, an outstanding defensive back in his playing days on Bagwell Field at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, site of tonight's contest with the Owls. And Kevin, East Carolina, coming off a 24-21 win at Old Dominion. And, of course, you'll be offering your insights on the Pirate Radio Network tonight, this nationally televised contest with Temple. But East Carolina overcame a home atmosphere at Ballard Stadium in Norfolk Saturday night. First road win since 2017, stopped a 10-game losing streak in road games for the Pirates, and East Carolina really rose to the occasion.
Yeah, I think it was a really good win. If you look at what the Pirates have done this season, you know, they open up with NC State. You know, I think if they played NC State now, it'd be a much more competitive game. But at the time, first game of the season, I think NC State was much further along than the Pirates were, and that final score didn't go well. Then you play a Gardner Webb team that just was, you know, outmatched from beginning to end. So it's hard to really use that game as a measuring stick. Then you play a Navy team that, you know, even though talent wise, I think the Pirates had comparable players size-wise, just the scheme just was an outmatch what the Pirates could put together with the week's time. So you don't know much there. And then William and Mary, they're better than Gardner Webb, but, you know, still not to the level that the Pirates were needing to see where they were at. And so you get to this Old Dominion game, and to be honest with you, the way the Pirates' trajectory has gone in a downward, you know, spiral almost over these last 3 or 4 years, Old Dominion has been on the way up, you know, and becoming FBS and being Conference USA and playing really well. So I think these two teams had finally kind of met in the middle. And, you know, maybe around the country, most people would think that ECU was probably a better team. I think it was pretty evenly matched. And to see them go on the road and beat that team, you know, in their new stadium, it was great. It was a good win for the Pirates. I think defensively, ODU was really, really good, and they were able to keep the Pirates kind of off balance and get some pressure on Holton Ahlers, made it really tough. But then defensively for the Pirates, they were really able to contain and bottle up that ODU offense and made it very, very tough on them to do anything. So a great outcome. A well-fought game, a hard-nosed game to play in the 20s, and those kind of games the Pirates need to win, and they were able to do that.
And Kevin, a special teams touchdown, that seemed to provide a spark.
That was really cool. It's been a while since we've seen that. You know, those type of plays have kind of earmarked what the Pirates have done over the years in the glory days, you know, with the T.J. Lee block and, you know, kick returns you've seen over the years by some of our great return men. That's what you have to do to beat these top-notch teams, right? To beat the big, the Miamis and the South Carolinas and the teams that East Carolina has beat over the years. You have to make these plays. And so it was really cool to see that kind of come to fruition, to get the block, they recover it, Warren Saba in the end zone for a touchdown. That just shows that, you know, they realize that you have to win on all three sides of the ball to win a game on the road, and the Pirates were able to do that.
And, of course, a long bomb with Holton Ahlers connecting with Blake Prohl, a big play.
Yeah, I mean, Holton Ahlers only completes 8 passes all game long, but I bet he probably averaged, you know, 30, 40 yards per pass play, because he had the 72-yarder, he had a 55-yarder, I think another 28-yarder. So 3 or 4 big ones out of Holton, and we hadn't seen that all year long. And the 72-yarder was huge. I think Blake Pohl's the best route runner on the team, probably one of the best in the conference. And so he's going to be open most times. It just takes pulling that trigger, and Holton, you know, finally was able to not hesitate so much and cut it loose, and he threw a beautiful ball to Blake, and he made a nice play on it.
And then the Monarchs, you know, were poised to score there late in the first half, and ECU linebacker Bruce Bivens came away with the ball, took it upfield a little ways, and the play survived a video review, and, you know, that was a huge turnover.
That was close, you know. And then, you know, you hear Coach, the ODU coach, complain that it was another controversial call. And you know, it's hard to blame him. I mean, but there just wasn't enough camera evidence to overturn that, to say it was a touchdown. But just a great hustle play, great effort, not giving up on, even though it looked like it might be a touchdown, knocking the ball out, getting it out of the shadow of the end zone, and that, you know, play basically saved the game. And it wasn't the end of the game at the time, but, you know, with the game being so close towards the end, it makes a huge difference.
And then Gerard Stringer with an interception, and the true freshman, Jaquan McMillan, with a pick as well.
Really excited to see both those things happen. First, I think Jaquan McMillan is going to be a star here at East Carolina. I love his energy. I love his athletic ability. I love his toughness. He gets up in the face of receivers. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he doesn't shy away from bigger receivers, and he's always there. You know, he doesn't make every play, but he's always there in position to make the play, and that's how you get interceptions from the defensive back position. And then Gerard Stringer, I mean, this guy, you know, kind of a linebacker, safety, you know, hodgepodge, and he can cover anybody, cover receivers, covers tight ends, covers fullbacks, backs out of the backfield, and does a great job of doing it. And oh, by the way, he's a very good tackler. So love the kid. I'm happy for him to get his first interception, but he does a lot to keep that defense moving out there.
Yes, and then ODU made a big play, got within 24-21 with just over 2 minutes left with a two-point conversion. And they go for the onside kick, and a true freshman, C.J. Johnson, came up with the ball for the Pirates, and East Carolina was able to run out the clock.
What a strange ending to that game. I mean, it almost looked like ODU had so little confidence in that quarterback throwing the football that they never really ever let him do it. I mean, they were running the ball on third and six and seven. You know, he would drop back and take one look downfield and then take off or try to dump it off. Like, he never threw a pass further than 10, 12 yards all game long. And then the end of the game, he throws a 60-yard bomb on the money. I mean, I almost fell out of my seat. It was unbelievable. Receiver makes a great catch. You know, Kobe Gore was in pretty good position, just wasn't able to make the play. They punch it in for a touchdown, get two more conversions, you said. And all of a sudden, it's a much closer-looking game than it was. East Carolina was in control of that game the entire way through, up by two scores at minimum the entire game. And so, on the stat sheet, it's going to look like it was a close game. It was not, but it was a hard-fought game.
And then, of course, East Carolina, second straight win, Kevin, taking some momentum into the contest tonight with Temple.
Yeah, I mean, talk about, you know, winning two straight. I don't think the Pirates have done that in a while either. I think there may have been a back-to-back win early last season at Carolina, and then I figured who they played after that. But, you know, take that out of the equation. I mean, only three wins the last three seasons, you know, five wins the season before that. So already equal in the win total from the last 3 years and not far off the off 4 years ago. So the Pirates are doing what they can to push towards being bowl eligible. It's going to be tough to finish out these last seven games and find a way to get three or four wins out of it. But I think it's doable if they continue to build on what they started over these last 2 weeks.
And Kevin, the Owls, who come in tonight, have really owned this series in the American Athletic Conference.
They're just so good. They you know, and they've changed coaches a couple times, but they're just so well coached. They always get the toughest kids. They're always very, very good on defense. They usually have a quarterback that's experienced that can get it done. I've been so impressed with them, you know, ever since going up there, you know, a handful of years ago when the Pirates were, you know, picked to beat them and doing really well, and they have that, you know, four or five turnover game or whatever it was, five fumbles in the rain. Ever since then, it just seems like Temple has just kind of controlled this whole series, and it's just impressive. So it's going to be another one of those games where it's going to be a tough opponent. They're not giving up very many, like 17 points per game, you know, 296 yards total on offense. So defensively, they're very, very good. And then offensively, it's not used to a Temple team, you know, putting up as many points and yards as they are, but 30 points a game, you know, over 400 yards a game. So they're finally kind of doing on both ends. It's more of a defense team in the past, but they're doing it on both ends, and it's a very impressive Temple squad.
Kevin, it's a short week for both teams.
Yeah, you know, when you have to play a game on Thursday, everything changes. If you think about a normal week, the Pirates would play on a Saturday. They'd come in on Sunday for like a light workout, watch film, get treatment, Monday they would have the day off. You know, Tuesday they'd be their toughest day. Wednesday would be a lot like Tuesday, but a little bit lighter. And then Thursday is more of a helmets and shoulder pads, do some special teams, kind of get everything tied together, and then Friday's a walkthrough. Well, think about that scenario. Now you have Sunday, you have to have an actual practice. Monday, you don't get off. You have to practice. That becomes your Tuesday, you know, and then Tuesday is a little bit lighter than Monday, and then Wednesday, you have your walkthrough. Thursday, you're ready to play. So you still get the same amount of practice time in. It's just at a condensed schedule. So I think the Pirates were able to get everything done that they wanted to get done, just not as much time to get the treatment, not a day off. And so they'll have their day off probably Friday after the game. But a lot happened in this 10-day, 11-day span over the last 2 weeks trying to play two ball games.
Kevin, it's a Thursday night game on national television, ESPN. And what kind of impact can the crowd have tonight?
I think it can be huge. I mean, you know, having your student base, your student body there in big numbers, you know, all those kids are super excited to be at the stadium in a night game. The weather's still warm. They want to be on TV, so they're fired up. It's a really cool experience. I got to play in a few Thursday night games myself on ESPN, and always so excited. You knew that the country was watching. You're the only game in town, only show in town. And so if people want to watch college football, they're watching this game. And so I think that'll be excitement for both teams. But the Pirates happen to have the home game, and I know Daddy Ficklin's going to be rocking.
Well, Kevin, let's talk about the Bonesville tradition. Kevin's keys to the game.
Wow, I mean, home field is huge in this. So, you know, I think the biggest key is that the crowd, you think about what happened with the Cowboys and the Saints last weekend. I think the Cowboys were the better team, but that Saints crowd was unbelievable. They couldn't get their audibles together. They couldn't make their checks. And so I think the crowd plays a huge role in this game tonight. I think they have to be big and loud the entire game, make things tough on both offensively and defensively for Temple to get their plays in. Taking care of the football. I mean, you just cannot turn over the ball in a game like this. It's just going to be one of those games where you turn the ball over, you get blown out. And so you got to take care of it. You got to make sure you maintain these drives. And then offensively, the Pirates have to get in a better rhythm in the passing game. Temple's going to be tough against the run. They always are. The Pirates have shown they've got some running backs that can get a few yards here and there when they need it, but the passing game hasn't been in sync. Like I said, only completed 8 passes last game, some big ones, but they need to get back to that, you know, 3 or 4 yard sideways passing game to open up the big play downfield. Now that they've shown they can throw the ball downfield, the short passing game will open up the long passing game. So got to get the passing game going, got to be able to maintain the crowd noise and take care of the football.
Very good, Kevin. The excitement is building, and we will see what we see and hope for the best, and I look forward to talking with you maybe not next week because we'll have an open date before the Central Florida game, but right now the focus is on East Carolina as they match up with the Temple Owls.
Yeah, well, Central Florida will be a big one, so definitely need the opening date before that one, so super excited. Thanks a lot, Al.
Yes, sir.
Bloody Pirates!